The 48th verse of this previous chapter stated, Vishnu Mayam Idam Pashyam. A devotee of Krishna should see the entire universe to be the illusory potency of the Lord. Therefore, King Nimi is now pursuing this subject matter by requesting more detailed information about the saintly, from the saintly Yogendras. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and the human beings on the earth are all driven by their particular desires for material sense gratification. Thus they direct their senses towards research for material knowledge. The subtle celestial senses of the demigods and the gross senses of human beings are all busy in ascertaining the measurements of material sense objects. To understand fully the actual nature of Maya, the illusory potency which causes the conditioned soul to become averse to Krishna consciousness and surrender to bewildering material manifestations, King Nimi is inquiring from another of the nine Yogendras, Sri Antariksha. Om Agnatam Arandasya Gyananjana Shalapaya Chakshur Militam Tena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Maharaj Nimi is now presenting his next question to the great learned sage Antariksha. Now all of Maharaj Nimi's questions
as the benefit and welfare of all living entities for all time. This is the mercy, the great mercy and compassion of the pure devotee of the Lord. Now we're hearing about the inquiry from Maharaj Muni about the illusory energy of the Lord. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 7, Lord Chaitanya's Five Features, 607, Srila Prabhupada, he gives the definition of illusion. He says that illusion is a misunderstanding which arises from inattention while hearing. Now, this chapter, entitled The Liberation from the Illusory Energy, so, in other words, it's to become free from any misunderstandings that might have occurred from inattention, inattentive hearing. That is why in Krishna consciousness, to hear with rapt attention is stressed so much. And Prabhupada said that to take up Krishna consciousness means to declare war on the illusory energy. Now, it said that the greatest wars are fought and won by one who knows their enemy. And if anyone goes into battle, there's three main factors that one has to understand before entering into battle, otherwise there's no chance of winning. Number one is who or what the enemy is. Number two, the strategies of how the enemy will attack. And number three, the most effective way to attack the enemy. So, if you look at, say, any fighters like martial arts experts in them, they will scrutinizingly study their opponents. They will learn their weak points, they will learn their different techniques. When they come to fighting, they have the best chance of overcoming, beating their enemy or the opposition. Actually, the fighter should know the opponent better than the opponent knows himself. So there's one very famous verse in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 37. Most of you know this verse? Know this verse? 337? Who knows it? Kama Esha, Krota Esha, Vajrakuna Samutavana, Mahashana Mahapatma, Vidyanam Hidavayanam. It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born when in contact with the material mode of passion, and which is later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So it is lust which is our number one enemy in this material world. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that when the living entity comes into the material world and comes in contact with the material mode of passion, his eternal love of God is transformed into lust. And when lust is unsatisfied, it then transforms into wrath or anger. And it is wrath which continues our existence in the material world. And if you ever try to talk to someone when they're angry, for them to actually hear anything they are saying is pretty impossible, Their minds are so disturbed, agitated, they can't hear things in the right context, and even if they've got the wrong end of the stick, You know, they're totally absorbed in bewilderment. You know, they just can't hear anything. There's also this famous verses at the end of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Jaya Zavishyam from the Sai Sangha Strashiva Jayate, Sangha Sanjay Jayama Kama Pradhu Jayate, Kodhad Bhagavad Sammoha, Sammoha Samsti Bhagavaha, Smriti Vamsha Kadima Se, Bhutina Shatma Shatim. That while contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment from them. And from such attachments, lust arises. From lust, anger comes. And when anger is there, complete delusion. From complete delusion, from complete delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material form. So this is the first point. Now we know what the enemy is. Now, knowing the enemy, where the enemy is situated. You see, Krishna is so kind to us. You know, we're struggling in the material world with this enemy. And Krishna is so merciful that he's not only told us what the enemy is so we can recognize it, he's given us, told us where the enemy is situated and how to overcome the enemy. A few verses on, Krishna says, Indriyani Manojuri here. You know, the senses, the mind and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. So the mind is the receiver of different types of sense objects through bends of the senses. Now the mind has two functions, accepting and rejecting, sankalpa vikalpa. And the intelligence is there to discriminate and to see the outcome. So we can all see that in today's society, persons are definitely not taught to use their intelligence, you know, because they act without thinking. So intelligence is used to contemplate the results of the action. And if intelligence is not there, then we'll be forced to act under the dictation of the mind. So, say for example, if I see the beautiful form of the opposite sex, that form will be invented in through the eyes, will be impressed upon the mind. Now. If the intelligence is weak, then I will spontaneously act to try and get some pleasure out of the sense object. But if the intelligence is strong, trained, then it will contemplate about what will happen if I engage the senses with their object, if I want to enjoy the opposite sex, I have to, for the next 3 years, I could be changing nappies, and then sleep at night. And then I have to get a job, have to be exploited by a car, it's going to pay me next to nothing, for working 10, 12 hours a day. So, and what if she's not a devotee? I mean, what if she's not a vegetarian? Oh my God. So, yeah, the intelligence has to be trained up. And when intelligence becomes purified and strong through reading the Shastra. So now we know what the enemy is and where the enemy is situated. Now, the third point is, okay, how do we attack the enemy? How do we get rid of him? The next verse, Krishna explains that O Arjuna, in the very beginning, regulated the senses, and this will destroy this this enemy, lust. So, when we regulate the senses, we regulate our times of eating, regulate our sleeping. You know, we have the morning program, so we regulate our meditation times, our japa, our congregational chanting. And that way the mind will become peaceful. And actually one of the our main factor in helping to beat this enemy is to reveal one's mind. You know, next to construction, Rupa Goswami Sukadeshan Rita, he says in the fourth verse that to develop exchange is to reveal one's mind in confidence and to inquire confidentially. And I say this is a major factor, that if one is suffering, one is being attacked, one should reveal their mind. Because if one bottles this up, you know, then it's more chances of someone's falling victim to lust. You know. So, Bhakti Vishwamba Bhakti Maharaj, he gave me the instruction that always have a friend in Krishna consciousness that you can feel confident to reveal your mind to. Yeah, it's very important, very important. So, so one has to make sure you protect yourself from the enemy, and the strongest protection we can have is from, or get, is from good sadhana. And then strong and attentive chanting, good quality reading. This is what sharpens up the intelligence. It's reading and contemplating and understanding the Shastra. You know, we should become Shastra Chakshus, looking through the eyes of Scripture. And that way one will be able to overcome this great monster, lust. And then I'll stop there and ask if there are any questions, and then after that with the blessings of the Vaishnavas, because today is the appearance day of Sri Radha Kund. I thought, because there's a very nice commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that Hridayananda Maharaj quotes in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. I thought we could read that about how Radha Kund came into being, came manifest. So, has anyone got any questions about what I've spoken about? Any questions?
Can you bring me the 10th canto part 2, please? 10th canto part 2.
So, who knows at the end of what pastime did Radha Kund manifest? Yeah, very good. And after Krishna killed the demon Aristasura, Thank you. Okay, so there's a bit of intermingling of dialogues here, so I hope you can follow me. So this is after Krishna has just killed the Arasasura demon. So the innocent young gopi said, "Ah, Krishna, don't touch us now, O killer of the bull. Alas, even though Arasa was a terrible demon, still he was a male cow, so you had to undergo atonement. Just as Lord Indra did after killing Dhritarasura. But how can you purify yourself without going through the trouble of visiting every single holy place in the three worlds?" Krishna replied, "Why should I have to wander throughout the entire universe? I will at once bring all the countless pilgrimage places here and take my bath in them. Just watch." With this, Lord Mukunda struck his heel on the ground. Then he said, "This is the water of the Bhagavati River coming from the Patala region. And now, our holy places, all in peace come here." When the Supreme Lord has spoken these words, all the holy places went there and appeared before him. Krishna then addressed the gopis as follows. "See all these holy places." But the gopis replied, "We don't see them as you describe. Then who's better? Then those best of holy places, joining their palms and supplications, spoke up, "I am the salt ocean, I am the ocean of health, I am the Amara Dhika, I am the river Sakshona, I am the Sindhu, I am the Tamraparni, I am the holy place Pushpa, I am the river Saraswati, and I am the Godavari, Jamuna, and Rava rivers, and the confluence of the rivers of Prayag. Just see our waters." After purifying himself by bathing, Lord Hari became quite arrogant and said, "I have produced a pond containing all the various holy places, whereas you gopis must never have executed any religious duties on the earth for the pleasure of Lord Brahma." Then Srimati Radharani addressed her gopins as follows, "I must create an even more beautiful pond." So go to work. Having heard these words, the gopis saw that Arasasura's hooves had dug a shallow ditch just west of Sri Krishna's pond. At a nearby spot, all the gopis began digging up lumps of soft mud with their hands, and in this way a divine pond manifested in the short span of an hour. Krishna was astonished to see the lake they produced. He said, "Go ahead, O Lotus Eyed One. You and your companions should fill this pond of water from mine." But Radha replied, No. This is impossible, since the water of your pond is contaminated by your terrible sin of killing a cow. I will have my countless gopi companions bring the pure water of the Manasa Ganga here in billions of pots. In this way I will fill the lake with my own water, and thus make its renown unequalled in the entire world." Lord Krishna then gestured to a heavenly personality who was an intimate associate of all the holy places. Suddenly, that person rose up out of Krishna's pond and bowed down to the daughter of Sri Vishabhanu, Radharani. Then, with hands joined and tears pouring from his eyes, he began praying to her in devotion. "O Goddess, even Lord Brahma himself, the knower of all scriptures, cannot understand your glories. Nor can Lord Shiva or Lakshmi. Only Krishna, the supreme goal of all human endeavor, can understand him. And thus he feels obliged to personally make sure that you can wash away your perspiration when you are fatigued. He is always anointing your lotus feet with nectarian charu and the yavaka, and decorating them with ankle bells. And he rejoices and feels most fortunate simply by satisfying the tips of the toes of your lotus feet. On his order, we have immediately come here to live in this most excellent pond, which is created by one stroke of his heel. But only if you now feel satisfied with us and bestow your mercy upon us, will the tree of our desires bear fruit. Hearing this prayer, spoken by the representative of the full assembly of holy faces, she ran at his feet and said, "So, kindly tell me your desire." They then told her plainly, "Our lives would be successful if we could come to you upon it. That is the benediction we desire." Glancing at her beloved from the corners of her eyes, the daughter of Bishop Andrew replied with a smile, "Please come." Her guilty companions all agreed, and with her decision and became immersed in the notion of happiness. Indeed, the beauty of all creatures, both mobile and stationary, was enhanced. Thus gaining the grace of Srimati Radharani, the holy rivers and lakes in Sri Radhakrishna forcibly broke through its boundary walls. And swiftly filled Radhakrishna with their waters. Lord Hari then said, "My dear Radha, may this pond of yours become even more worldly renowned than mine. I will always come here to bathe and to enjoy my watered pastimes. Indeed, this lake is as dear to me as you are." Radha replied, "I will come to bathe in your pond as well, even though you may kill hundreds of arrows to demons in. In the future, anyone who has intense devotion for this lake, which is on the spot where you chastise Arasatra, and who bathes or resides there, is sure to become very dear to me." Srimati Radharani ki
jai.
Gantara Shima Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Shri Prabhupada ki
jai.
Prabhupada ki
jai.